Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning and welcome. Today's Chumash portion for Tuesday of Achrimos in the book we use here, 165, verse 25. Chapter 16, verse 25. We're continuing in the portion of Achrimos with the Yom Kippur service. Actually, we have not yet identified it as a Yom Kippur service. We've just been talking about that he does this and he does that, but it's not clear when all this happens. But we learned earlier in Rashi that all of this was to take place on Yom Kippur, as he will say a little bit later in today's portion. Continuing now with 25, Yeis Chelev HaChatos, and now the fat of the sin offering, which he slaughtered earlier. Yaktir, he shall cause it to smoke. HaMizbecha, upon the altar, as we've talked many times, that the slaughtering of the animal itself is not the service. The service is the sprinkling of the blood, representing the passions of man, the smoking of the fat, representing the pleasures of man, that our passions and pleasures should be godly and not, God forbid, the opposite. Ve'eis chelev achatos, emurei par v'soyer, the inwards of the bull and the goat, yaktir, are smoked, hamizbecha, on the altar. Now, which altar are we talking about? Do we smoke it on the altar of sacrifices, which would be the brass or copper outer altar where all sacrifices are offered? Or does this refer to the inner incense altar, which we used for some sprinkling of blood earlier? So he says no. Al mizbeach hachitzen, this goes on the outer altar. De'ilu b'pnimiksi, because regarding the inner altar, it says le'salu olav k'toida zora, never offer any strange, meaning unauthorized incense. Ve'ola, never any burnt offering, or mincha, and never any meal offering. So this is clearly the outer altar. Now here we have something interesting. We learned earlier that there were two goats. There was the sin offering goat, and then there was the goat, which was taken by a pre-designated Kohen to the peak mountain called Azazel. So now he says in 26, Vamashaleach, and the one who escorts Es HaSoyer, the goat, La Azazel, to this mountain, Azazel, Yechabes Begodav, he becomes impure through this mission, although he's doing a sacred mission. But he becomes impure, he has to wash his garments, Verochat Es Psori, and immerse or bathe his flesh, Bamoyim, in water, which means he has to go to the mikveh, V'achrichein, only after that, Yove, may he enter, El Amachna, into the camp, back into the area. Verse 27, ve'es parachatos, and the bull of sin offering, ve'es sirachatos, and the goat of sin offering, asher huva es domam, the one whose blood was offered, l'chaper, to make atonement, bakodesh, in the holy, yotzi, shall be carried out, amichutz lamachna, outside the camp, v'sarfu bo'esh, and there outside the camp, they shall be burned in fire, es erosam, v'es psorim, v'es pirsham, skin, the flesh, the dung, everything. Rashi, asher huva es domam lahechol b'lefnai b'lefnim, into the holy temple, into the innermost chamber, as we learned earlier. 28, v'haseid efesem, and similarly, we read that the one who actually burns these animals, yechabes begodav, v'rachatz es psori b'mayim, must wash his clothing and his flesh, immersing in a mikveh, v'achrechein yovei olamachna, and only then can he re-enter the camp. 29, and now he identifies the chronology, the timing of all of this. You know, timing is everything. This shall be to you as an everlasting, eternal statute. Bachodesh Hashvi, in month number 7. Now, if Nisan became the first month, so Tishrei is now the 7th month. Be'osar lachedesh, the 10th day, which is Yom Kippur. Ta'anu es nafshesechem, you shall afflict your souls, v'chol melocha loisasu, and do not engage in any labor. Ha'ezrach, the born citizen, the homie, v'hager, and the stranger, hagor b'seichem, the convert, everyone has to observe Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the holy of holies. You don't do any labor. You afflict your souls. You don't eat. You don't drink. There are other afflictions of Yom Kippur. There's the famous Yom Kippur story where the fellow comes to the rabbi before Yom Kippur. He says, "Rabbi, I have a big problem. This year," this was in the olden days, "this year the World Series comes out on Yom Kippur, and I don't know what to do. It's a conflict. Help me out." So the rabbi says, "You know, once upon a time that might have been a problem. But today we live in a modern, technologically hooked era. There's something called video. It's not a big deal. So it can all work." He says, "Rabbi, you're the best. Thank you for agreeing to video the Yom Kippur service for me." So that's the day of affliction. 30, ki bayom hazeh, because on this day, yechaper aleichem, he shall make atonement for you, letayer eschem, to cleanse you, mikil chateseichem, from all your sins, lifnei Hashem. Before Hashem, titoru, he shall make you pure. Chassidus explains, lifnei Hashem, that the process of repentance brings us higher than the name of Hashem. Lifnei Hashem. And we can actually move back time. We can go back to the future. 31. Shabbos, Shabbosin, Hilochem. Yom Kippur is a Sabbath of Sabbaths. Ve'inisim esnaf sheseichem, and you shall afflict your souls. Chukas Elam, this is an everlasting, eternal statute. Yom Kippur is an annual thing. Somebody told me last night, I was at a wedding last night, somebody told me last night that there was a rabbi who was speaking on Yom Kippur, and he was making an appeal, and he was going on and on and on, and this little boy turns to his dad and says, "Dad, if we give him the money, will he stop?" 32, v'chiper ha-kohen, and the kohen will make atonement, ashayim shachayseh, the one who will be anointed. In other words, there has to be a special kohen to run the Yom Kippur service. Not every kohen can run the Yom Kippur service. There has to be that anointed kohen called the kohen godol, v'ashayim ales yodeh, whose hand shall be consecrated, lechahen, to direct the high priesthood, to take the office of the high priesthood, tachas aviv, in place of his father, the high priest. Belovash, he shall don, he shall put on, as bigdei habod, the linen garments, bigdei hakodesh, which are holy garments, as we learned yesterday, earlier, that the bulk of the special Yom Kippur service was not done in the gold regalia of the high priest, but was done in simple linen garments, which were usually worn by a regular Kohen because of the humility, the simplicity, the purity of the Yom Kippur day. 32, v'chiper ha-kohen asher yimshach kaporazu shel yom kippurim. This atonement of the day of Yom Kippur, einek sheda, this whole ritual is only kosher if it's performed, ela b'kohen godol, by the high priest, otherwise known as the big kahuna. Lefi shenemro kol ha-parsha bi-aharon, because this entire portion is talking about Aharon. And Aharon was a one-generation high priest. We don't know what happens after Aharon. Hutzrach lomer, the Torah has to tell us that it always applies only to the high priest. Bekohen godol, for the high priest, that it applies to the high priest. Habo achrab, which succeeds him. Sheyehei kamohu, who will assume this office and take his place. Vasher yimales yodei, and whose hand shall be consecrated. Earlier, we learned that this idea of the consecration of the hand, that's a form of inauguration. Rashi talks about the fact that in France, when they wanted to inaugurate somebody in office, they would put a leather glove on his hand, and this was the ritual of inauguration. That's the idea of consecration of the hand. But it means inaugurating, installing into office. Ein li ela hamashor b'shemen ha-mishcha. Rashi says that I would think from learning the order of the verses that this only applies to the high priest who's anointed with the anointing oil. But there was a point in time, there came a point in time after Yoshiyahu, where the anointing oil was concealed and it was no longer available. So how do you designate and anoint and inaugurate a high priest when there's no anointing oil? The answer is meruba bigodim, simply by having this Kohen wear more garments than a regular Kohen. This is what we call meruba bigodim, an abundance of garments, meaning a regular Kohen wears the four linen garments. The Kohen Gadol wears the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. Meruba bigodim, if the Kohen Gadol simply is given the abundant outfit of the high priest, minayin, how do we know that that's also a form of inauguration? We ran out of the oil. Can we just inaugurate by giving him the special garments? Tamar lema, yes. Vasher yimales yodei, whose hand will be consecrated. Behem, and this refers to the method of installation and inauguration of kol hakayanim magdalim, all the high priests, sha'amdu, who arose, mi yeshiyahu ve'elach, from the time of Yeshiyahu and on, shebiyama, because in his days, nignezot tzleichis shashem and amishcha, the cruse of anointing oil was concealed, as the Gemara says in Hayrius, l'chahin, tachas ohiv, l'aviv, l'lamit, to teach us, who becomes the next Kohen Gadol? Any Kohen could become the next Kohen Gadol. However, if there's a son of the previous Kohen Gadol, and he's worthy, she'im b'nei memale es mekeme, if his son is worthy of taking his place, who kedem l'chol adam, he has precedence over all the other Kohanim. 33. He makes atonement, as Migdash HaKadosh, for the most holy place, v'as Ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, v'as HaMizbeach, and for the altar, Yechaper, he makes atonement, v'al HaKayanim, and for the Kohanim, v'al Kol Am HaKol, and for the entire congregation, Yechaper, he makes atonement. And this is the gift which Hashem gave the Kohen in general, and the Kohen Gadol in particular, that the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol is the intermediary, so to speak, between God and the Jew and God. This is why the Kohen ministers. Kohuna l'chahin means to minister. This also explains the whole idea of birchas Kohanim, that the Kohen were empowered, the Kohanim were empowered by Hashem to convey blessing. And the question can be asked, why would a Kohen be empowered to give blessing? What if the Kohen is not such a God-fearing guy? He's not a tzaddik. Can he still get up and do the blessing? So actually, there's a section in the Rambam dealing, in Maimonides, with the laws of the priestly blessing, and it says that unless the Kohen is a major criminal, if he's a murderer, he shouldn't get up. But if he's just, you know, not 100% a tzaddik, he could still get up and do the priestly blessing, because Hashem empowers him to convey Hashem's blessing to the people. And this is the position of all Kohanim, as long as they maintain their lineage and do what they're supposed to do as Kohanim. They don't have to be tzaddikim. The Kohen Gadol is the high priest, and he represents all the Jewish people in the service of Yom Kippur. Needless to say, everybody has to endeavor to be as God-fearing as they can. 34, this shall be to you, the chukas elam, as an eternal, everlasting statute, the chaper, to make atonement, al b'nei Yisrael, for the children of Israel, mikol chateisam, from all of their sins, achas bashona, once a year. And as we talked earlier, this achas bashona, this once a year, has a very profound message, because there is the one, the most special person within the Jewish people, and that's the Kohen Gadol. There are three categories, and we talked about this yesterday or the day before. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. The words Olam, Shana, Nefesh make up the word Ashan. Ayin, Olam, Shana, Shin, Nefesh, Nun. Ashan is the pillar of smoke which the Kohen Gadol created on Yom Kippur in the Holy of Holies. Ashan stands for Olam. What is the holiest place on earth? The Beis HaMikdash, the Holy of Holies. Shana, what is the holiest moment of the year? Yom Kippur. Nefesh, who is the holiest man? The high priest. That's why the Ashan, he creates the pillar of cloud when he offers the incense on Yom Kippur. That's the Achas Bashona. And the Rebbe in his talks explain that there's an Achas, there's a one, the pinnacle, the essence, the spark of Judaism. That's the Achas within each and every Jew. No matter how far a Jew can wander, he still is connected to the Achas, to the spark of the oneness of Hashem. You know, we're in the season of Pesach here. And there's an interesting interpretation. We talk about the four sons. And we all know it says in the Haggadah, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks about four sons. And then we say in the Haggadah, Echad Chacham, one is a wise man, a wise son. Echad Rasha, one is a wicked son. Echad Tam, one is a simple son. Echad, and one is Sheini Yedei Elishal, he doesn't even know how to ask. So the question is asked in Chassidus, and the Rebbe expounds upon this. This seems to be a strange language, strange expression. It should say, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibrei Torah, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Sheini Yedei Elishal. What's this Echad? Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha. Or if you want to count, you say Echad, Sheini, Shlishi, Revi. The answer is no, we're not counting. We're saying Echad Chacham. The Chacham, the wise son, has within him the spark of the one God. Echad Rasha, the wicked son, also has within him the spark of the one God. Echad Tam, the simple son, has within him the spark of the one God. Echad Sheini Yedei Elishal, even the son who doesn't know how to ask, he just knows how to say, like they say in L.A., what's happening? What's happening? Even he has the spark of godliness. Every single Jew has the essence of Achas, of the one God. That's the Achas Bashona, which is brought out on Yom Kippur. What's happening? Vayas, Kasha, Tziva, Hashem, Es Moshe. And he did exactly as God commanded Moshe, Rashi. Vayas, Kasha, Tziva, Kishigi, Yom Kippurim. When the Day of Atonement arrived, also he made Kaseder, he did Kaseder, Hazeh, like this order. And this is to share with us the praiseworthiness of Aaron, how special Aaron was. That Aaron simply did what he was told. Aaron didn't put on the regalia of the high priest because he wanted to be a big man, he wanted to have a fancy outfit. Aaron did it like one fulfills the decree of a king. Aaron was a very connected, humble man, and that is the end of today's Torah portion.